hi, and thank you for listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Charlotte Kniep, and we're talking this month about the power of redemption through Jesus Christ. Now, redemption is one of those words that we say and we hear a lot, and we know what it means in the context of a sentence, but I wanted to find the actual definition, which says, redemption is the regaining possession of something or the clearing of a debt. So in a spiritual sense, we gain redemption through Jesus Christ by being able to return to live with him again when we repent of our sins. But redemption and Jesus Christ also work for us in temporal matters. Josie Solomon was an active, happy college student when she was suddenly hit with crushing darkness. She later found out that it was bipolar type 2 disorder, and this condition affected nearly every aspect of her life, making it difficult for her to even get out of bed in the morning, let alone go on a mission or participate in other activities. But she has found a way to look on the bright side of life and find a purpose that gives her so much joy by helping others. And she's here with us today, along with her husband, Brighton, to discuss this experience with us. Thank you for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
we're excited to be here, Charlotte.
So, Josie, how did you react when you first found out that you had bipolar disorder? What were your thoughts and feelings?
I felt an assortment of feelings. I was kind of confused. For a while, for at least 5 years, it was just determined it was major depression. So all of a sudden to be introduced to the bipolar diagnosis, and especially what I knew about bipolar, I think what everyone assumes is the real manic highs and the real manic lows. And that is not a part of the things that I struggle with. So it was kind of confusing. But I've learned that with my bipolar, it's very different. The type 2 is not as manic. And in fact, mine is almost constant low. But what does seem to parallel the diagnosis is all of a sudden I'll have this real erratic period of time where I can't sleep. My brain won't turn off or anything like that. And so when I received that diagnosis, it was obviously very off-putting because I thought, bipolar, I don't want to be that girl, you know? And at this time, I wasn't married, and I thought, my goodness, who's going to want to marry, you know, the bipolar girl?
Absolutely. And you've been quoted as saying that you want to bring light to others through your own darkness. And how are you doing that now? How have your feelings about this condition changed, I guess, based on what you're doing now?
Well, essentially, for 3 years, I was in bed, couldn't do anything. Had to withdraw from full ride scholarship at school. I had a state calling I had to be released from. I couldn't work any longer. And then the third or fourth year, I was invited to Montana and lived on this cattle ranch, and things started to change a little bit. And that's when I thought I could receive a mission call. So I went through that process, and then that darkness returned, and so I wasn't able to serve a mission. I was engaged once, not to this guy. Awkward, we'll move on, but that didn't work out. And then, you know, I couldn't go to school. So there was just all these feelings of absolute failure and feeling as though I couldn't escape this darkness that constantly plagued me was suffocating. But that's when I decided, and I slowly, with prayer and guidance from friends and our Father in heaven, I realized I had this profound epiphany that you do not have to be healed to help. And a lot of times I've learned that the challenges and the opposition that we have in our lives that hold us back can be the very vehicle that can help move another forward. We can use our challenges to help bless lives of others. And another profound discovery was, even though I constantly felt plagued and inundated in darkness, I learned that I didn't necessarily emit that same darkness. What I felt wasn't necessarily there. And that's the thing, is I learned that the darkness that comes a lot of times from mental illness or, you know, circumstantial situations in our life that are beyond our control. And I realized that darkness could purify and it could refine me. And even though I constantly feel caught up in it, I learned and am learning how to channel that in order to bring light to others.
That's incredible that you're able to see. I love what you said, that there is a difference between darkness that comes from sin, from actually doing something wrong, and then darkness that can just be a presence in your life from mental illness and things that can teach you how to be more like Heavenly Father and that can bring you closer to Him.
And along those lines, it's an interesting point that we've learned and that we make is that though darknesses can be different, the light that heals and relieves is the same.
Mm-hmm. So Brighton, you met Josie when she was kind of in this process of discovering how to work with this condition and how to live day to day. How is she different from day one compared to now?
The good thing about Josie, she's absolutely consistent. She's very disciplined and it doesn't matter who she's with or what she's doing. Her actions are always consistent. She's always honest and true to herself. So she really hasn't changed that much other than that she has allowed me to be a part of her life, which has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. Because not only is she the love of my life, but she's the greatest example that I have of someone to look to who does hard things, who consistently can rely on the Lord and find comfort and healing and direction through his guidance and scriptures.
Mm-hmm. So with the 444, is it 444?
444 project.
Okay. So with the 444 project, did you begin that before you met Brighton or was that after?
3 years ago today that I left for the first 444 project. And that is based off of the 444 is based off of a family scripture in Alma 44:4, basically telling us that God will support. And so I had this idea, you know, we all have our limitations and our boundaries, and I learned to respect those, but not surrender to them. So rather than focusing on what I couldn't do, I established what I could do. And I enjoyed writing and driving, and I loved people. So I went out across the country, lived out of my car. I was gone 100 days, and I had committed to interviewing 444 perfect strangers. I believed three things. I believed that everybody has a story to tell. Number two, I believe that goodness is still alive and well in the world today. And number three, I believe that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're going, you have a reason to live. You have a reason to put your two feet on the floor every single day and stand up and get up and live. And I wanted to prove that. And so after having written about my struggles on my blog, candidly, I had subsequent to that received several emails, hundreds, thousands now of emails from people all over the world telling me, I can't tell you how many times I've had whispered in my ear or read on, you know, an email that says, I know that darkness. And knowing that was such a prevalent issue, and not just individual to or unique to mental illness, but everybody's fighting a hard battle. And so my idea was I would go out and I would interview, hopefully, ideally, every demographic, and I would try and incorporate anyone and everyone and prove that everybody has a reason to live. And so that was the first project. And then a year later, I went and did a second project in Italy. And that was right before I left. My cousin, Season Joy, passed away unexpectedly. And so in honor of her life and her legacy, rather than asking 444 Europeans what gets you out of bed, I instead asked them what brings you joy. And then it was the third project. It was about a year and a half ago. I was starting to work with another organization, humanitarian organization, and we had the idea that we would collaborate and go to the Philippines and still interview the people there. But more importantly, rather than asking what brings you joy, the idea was we would bring joy through service. We are preparing this summer to do our fourth project, wherein we are taking volunteers to serve in Tanzania, Africa. And we still need more volunteers if anyone wants to come. But again, we are just continuing the theme of joy. But not only that, it's interesting how this mission and this project is evolving. And rather than our mission originally was just to bring joy to the world, but now I'm learning our mission is to bring joy to the world by helping others find joy in their darkness.
That's so beautiful. And I love when you're talking about how the project evolves and what it was from day one until what it's going to turn into this summer. And I wanted to ask you, Brighton, what have you learned about faith in Jesus Christ from going through this experience with Josie?
Oh, I feel like my whole outlook and my definition of faith has completely changed. I remember I served a mission and I remember thinking I had a pretty good understanding until Josie and I had been dating for 9 days, and I felt very strongly that she was the one that I was going to marry. And I remember panicking, thinking, this is going to be so hard. how am I going to be able to do this? There's no way that I'm going to be good enough. And, but I always kind of had this assurance that everything was going to be okay. And that's at that moment, I realized this is what it means to walk by faith, that when you don't have the answer and you can't even see the path, but you decide to walk forward instead. And it was interesting that the very scripture that's motivated everything that Josie has done was what gave me the power and the strength to hold on. So that, like she said, it's Alma chapter 44, verse 4, and it says, "You see that God will support and keep and preserve us so long as we are faithful unto him and unto our faith and unto our religion, and never will God suffer that we shall be destroyed except we shall fall into transgression and deny our faith." And I just had to remember that time and time again, that as long as I remain close to the Lord, he's going to give me everything that I need to get through this. Whether I believe I can get through it or not, he knows that I can, and he'll give me what I need.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And it's interesting how these experiences show us how strong we really are, show us the potential that we have as children of God and how we really are endowed with his power. We just sometimes have to go through difficult things to realize that. But thank you both so much for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
We're happy to be here. Yeah, thank you.
So you can hear other similar stories of redemption through Jesus Christ all month long on our show at mormonchannel.org. And our quote of the day is from Dr. Sally H. Barlow, a BYU professor of psychology. And she said, "I submit to you that we have all wept, sunk, and trembled, maybe under the weight of our own sins from the unwitting problems brought on by misfortune, from inherited struggles that through no fault of our own have wrought havoc in our lives. The answer to all of these is call to Jesus and he'll draw nigh." Thank you so much for listening today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.